Hi, and welcome to another edition of Right on Rangers Live, coming at you after a split of a doubleheader. Rangers most recently in game two of that doubleheader winning 9-4. We are going to bring you everything, mostly from the second game, if we're just being honest. First game was a little forgettable, but we're going to bring you all the highlights, key moments, talking points from both games here in just a moment. But of course, here right on Rangers, we cover everything sports, but we put a big emphasis on all the teams we love from the great state of Texas, including the Rangers and especially the Rangers during baseball season. Thank you so much for supporting Right on Rangers. There's a lot of different Texas Rangers content out there. Appreciate y'all choosing us. We are going to do our best to navigate through this one. It feels like a positive that the Rangers are at least able to get one today, going obviously for the series win, the rubber match of this series tomorrow, another day game. It is unfortunate that Houston, just by nature of the fact that the Rangers lost a game today, do gain a half game regardless. So Houston winning 5-4 today over the Red Sox. We are at that time in the season, I think officially, where scoreboard watching is something that you do imminently after any Rangers final. And so you look at the scoreboard for today, Mariners still have not played, but the Astros are able to win their second game in a row over the Red Sox. Winning some big games when it's most needed, the Astros are, and the Rangers need to get in line with that quickly if they want to have any chance of playing baseball in October. But I'm glad the Rangers are able to get game two today. Before I get into it, I'm going to get to some comments, check things out. What's up to everybody watching live, whether you're on TikTok, whether you're on YouTube, Facebook, X, Instagram. Again, thanks for joining us today. Perhaps you're watching on the replay. It's all good either way, but let me get to some comments now. John, what's up, man? Thanks so much for tuning in. It's been a couple of days since we've been live, y'all. It's weird to get 2 days off in the middle of the season unless it's All-Star break. If I'm being honest, I enjoyed it. It was kind of nice. But I'm ready to get back into it. So John says, for anybody watching on, listening on Apple or Spotify, can we just talk about the second game and pretend the first one didn't happen? Honestly, that was my opener today when I got on the live. Can we just not talk too much about that first game? I think there's a couple of good talking points from the first game, but I'm mainly going to highlight the second game. Garcia did have a great day. Dolly with 2 hits in game one, 3 hits in game two, 5 hits on the day. Average up to almost 220. All right. We were getting close to that Mendoza line with Adolis Garcia. Now we're up to, 217. Let's go. So, John, thank you for tuning in. We're going to talk a little bit more about Dolis Day as we get into it, but 100% agreed. One of the big bright spots from both games, honestly. Adolis Garcia, 5 collective hits on the day. Let's keep going. Is Langford hurt because Travis doesn't normally replace guys before the ninth inning? I would say, actually, normally he does. Normally he does come in for defensive purposes in a doubleheader type situation. It's not shocking to me that Jankowski would come in, give guys a little bit of a breather at the end. The first game was out of reach, and at some point you got to be thinking about Wyatt Langford playing a second game and a lot of these guys playing a second game. That's why you saw a number of guys get replaced in the first game, so I wouldn't be surprised, but I think Wyatt Langford and the back issue, tightness, whatever you want to call it, that he was dealing with earlier this week, for sure they're trying to be careful with him, and really no need to continue to play all the starters in an 8-run ball game late. Aaron, what's up, man? Look, here's my mentality. Do I think that the Rangers have a great shot at making the playoffs? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Am I just trying to enjoy one game at a time? No need for gloom and doom. No need for, harsh predictions, for sure. That's where I'm at. No declarations from me. Mathematically, Rangers aren't out of it. I'm not going to go game by game and declare the season's over. It's not worth it. I don't think the Rangers have a great chance of making the playoffs if you're looking for a lean from me, but I'm not going to go game by game. They're going to make it. They're not going to make it. I really don't know. Anything could happen. We could easily have the Astros lose 5 and the Rangers could win 5 in a row, and now it's a one-game race. Baseball is one of the craziest sports, I think, out of all the major ones. I just don't see a lot of value in going game by game. They're going to make it. They're not going to make it. The season's over. It's not over. Great win, terrible loss. I mean, look, we could do that all day long. Going to try to take it game by game and just enjoy each game if I can. Game one of this doubleheader was super hard to enjoy. I'm not going to lie to you. Evo, I would say a little bit concerned about Nate Evaldi. If I could just kind of launch into some talking points here, I would be remiss if I didn't bring up the fact that Evo has struggled over his last few outings. Now, there was a little bit of a health issue going on. Boach, Maddox, trainer, all went out to see him. They talked to Evo in between games, and he did want to go back out there for a fourth inning in game one, but coaching staff did not want to see him do it. I think that was the right move. The offense scored zero runs in game one. So for Evo to go back out there for a fourth inning with health, a possibility for concern, I don't think that it was really of any value for him to continue to pitch. But I will say, I was definitely concerned watching Evo struggle again. And if you go to Evo's most recent starts, let's kind of break this down a little bit. Again, there's not a lot of talking points from game one. It sucked. The offense scored zero runs, but there's a few points I think that are worth going over. But Evo, in his last three starts, 8 runs allowed in his last two, 11 runs over his last three starts. That doesn't sound quite as bad. But last two starts against Boston and New York, respectively, 8 innings pitched, 8 earned runs. And that's just not great from your ace pitcher. Granted, you are playing some really good teams, but nevertheless, you're expecting Evo to come out and give you a competitive chance to get a win almost every time out there in August and September down this stretch. And when you're not getting quality starts from Nate Evaldi against good teams, it feels really, really difficult for the Rangers to survive the next 2 months and really have any chance. I know right now it's single digits percent chance for the Rangers to make it into October. But it just feels like just a very defeated climate environment when your ace is going out there and getting rocked. And Evo today, 6 hits, 2 walks, 8 base runners in 3 innings. Just did not look like he was comfortable out there today. I got to say, I'm a little bit worried. I'd like to see him get fully healthy. I think health is obviously a concern. He is playing some good competition. He did have a nice start against St. Louis on the 29th. 6 innings pitch, 3 earned runs, a quality start, no walks. The Rangers did not. Trying to think about that 29th game, if that was a win or not. I think that was the first game of that Cardinals series, and he actually did help us get a win. But after that, didn't go so well for the Rangers in St. Louis. So Evo, 1-2 over his last 3 starts. Not great. I hope he gets healthy. Hope he can come back in his next start out and be a different guy out there. Maybe the Rangers will give him an extra day in there. We'll see what happens. But on the day, glad the Rangers could get a split. The only other, I think, real notable thing from that game one, I think there was a couple of individual performances. Doley getting a couple of hits. Josh Young had a couple of hits in game one. Good to see both of those guys coming and still continuing to have quality at bats, even in the midst of a really, really bad game. Not an easy thing to do. We've talked about this a lot on the show. When you're down big, when you're down multiple runs, it's hard to stay locked in. Over 162 game season. Nobody's feeling sorry for these guys, but I think if you get into the mentality, I think it's a really, really difficult thing to still play at a high level when you're getting your butt kicked. And these guys get paid well to do that, but nevertheless, they're human. So for Young, for Garcia to still come out each at bat, work quality ABs, get a couple of hits on the day, I was glad to see that. And let's talk a little bit about Grant Anderson, who I think kind of went out there and took one for the team. Grant Anderson threw the most innings pitched in that game one. 3 2/3, 1 earned run, and I believe it was on a home run later on in the 8th inning, 9th inning, something like that. Thought Grant Anderson, for being the 27th, right, the 27th guy for the doubleheader, he came in and I thought pitched really well. And Grant Anderson has not been a great pitcher for the Rangers this year. But I was impressed and pleased with what we got from Grant over the last 3 2/3 innings pitched. Struck out 3, did have a couple of walks. But look, 3 2/3, 3 base runners. One of those was a home run. I thought Anderson came in and ate up innings well. So for as much as we rail on Grant Anderson, he was kind of the sacrificial lamb today going out there and having to pitch in a blowout. And I thought he did extremely well to go out there and only allow one run. I thought he was going to go just zero goose egg, but gave up the home run late. Nevertheless, successful outing from him, eating up some innings, saving the bullpen for game two. Grant Anderson goes out there and gets shelled. They're bringing out somebody else, wasting another arm in a game that's far out of reach. So let's give some credit to Grant Anderson. Coming up, 27th guy, eating up some innings so the Rangers could maintain some semblance of a bullpen for game two. It wasn't looking pretty there for a second. Really thought the Rangers, though, when you look at Carlos Rodon's final line, and this is going to be the last thing from game one. When you look at Rodon's final line, five walks, and you score zero runs. Just a disappointing game in terms of taking advantage of guys giving you free passes in this one. Rodon, five walks, three hits allowed. Rangers got runners on first and second multiple times in game one. Rangers left nine runners on base in game one, were 0 for 4 with runners in scoring position. Jonah Heim grounding into a double play. The regression of Jonah Heim is just such a killer and such a reason why the Rangers are struggling so much this year. There's a few guys we can point out. We're not putting it all on Jonah, but Jonah Heim's regression, just one of the multiple reasons why the Rangers are where they are right now. And Jonah Heim's still a great catcher defensively, but 0 for 3, Heim had multiple opportunities in this one. In fact, he had two opportunities with runners in scoring position and two outs. I think actually the way I'm reading it in the box score, he had bases loaded, and so he left two runners on base in scoring position with two outs. So Jonah Heim, 0 for 3 in game one. His regression, one of the big reasons why the Rangers are about 6-7 games out right now. If he could be any semblance of what he was last year, a guy that drove in 95 RBI, the Rangers would be in a much, much better place. But this game was the Rangers' offense in a nutshell this year. Yankees give you five free passes and you score zero runs. I can't really think of anything better to describe this Rangers offense. Teams are just giving you free bases and you're doing absolutely nothing with it. Now, let's get a little bit more positive, shall we? Let me check comments here. Let me check comments real quick. I know I haven't gotten to TikTok yet. Yeah. El Bombi, could he get going? This offense would be lethal if that happens. I'm crossing my fingers and I'm not holding my breath. By the way, appreciate the comment, JJ. Thank you so much. I don't know. I've said a few different times, could this be Dolie getting going and then he just goes back to being super cold? So I am holding my breath and crossing my fingers. I don't know. I really hope it is the start of something great for Dolie. Five hits over the doubleheader today. Outstanding game from him. So with that, I absolutely am going to go into a positive note with game two. game one is what it is. It was what it was. We got to move forward. E-Baker, what's up, man? Thanks for tuning in. I did play in college, but guys, nothing substantial. Went to a really, really small school. Did not get a ton of playing time or anything like that. So full disclosure. Dream was to play college ball, get school paid for, check, but did not have a lot of notable playing time in college or anything like that. Enjoyed my experience, played some outfield, and in high school, outfield, did a little bit of pitching, but mostly played outfield, a little bit of second base. It was fun. It was a great time. I love my college ball memories and my high school memories, but it was not anything close to going pro or playing at the next level, but had amazing experiences, got school paid for, win-win in my book. Texas Repo, what's up, man? Astros are winning some games at the right time, I will say that. So win a series against the Rangers, win a series against the Red Sox. Astros are turning it on, or at least seemingly turning it on. We'll see. I think they go play Tampa Bay after this. So we'll see if they can complete the sweep tomorrow on Sunday against the Red Sox at Fenway. Then they go play Tampa Bay. Astros don't even have Kyle Tucker or Verlander going right now. So Rangers are going to have to work out a miracle, I think, in order to win the division. I'm still going to cheer them on like they've got the best chance in the world, but I can tell y'all right now, the chances aren't good. Mathematically, not impossible, but not good. That sixth inning, let's talk about game two. John's bringing up the sixth inning, the one that was capped by the Corey Seager three-run bomb. Yeah, this offense can turn it on in a second. And I think that really that whole sixth inning really shows exactly what I've been saying for the past week, which is this Rangers offense is predicated on the team getting big hits. So you got Corey Seager coming up with a huge three-run bomb to break the game wide open. Up to that point, what it was, 3-1, 4-1, something like that. Still a tight game. We get the big knock, though, and we're at a 6-1, 7-1 ballgame. This offense lives and dies by the big hit. And when they are getting the big hits, this looks like an unstoppable offense. They got 9 runs in a second. And that is what this team can do. But they've got to be getting the big hit. They've got to get that big hit with 2 outs or the home run. If those things are not happening, this offense looks very, very ugly. We've seen now it's been, 117 games. This team cannot consistently, they did it a little bit today, but they cannot consistently go station to station. They can't go single, single, single and score a run. They go single, strikeout, big 2-out knock or big home run, right? It's rare that the Rangers are stringing together 3 or 4 hits in a row. It's not consistent. So good to see the Rangers offense come to life. And when they can get the big home run, the extra base hits, they're a dangerous team. It's just, can they do it? And can they do it with consistency? Last year, they were getting the big knock game after game. And they were stringing together wins, especially in the playoffs. Right? They were just getting big hit after big hit down the stretch in the postseason. It's why they won the World Series. Corey Seager, look at game one. Corey Seager, huge home run in the 9th inning. Doley, huge home run in the 11th inning. Rangers take game one of the World Series. It's what they did to win it all, y'all. And when they're not doing it this year, and when you've got so many guys that are regressing badly this year. And we said, I think it was a few nights ago, even if they were getting mediocre out of Doley, mediocre out of Jonah Heim, mediocre out of Leody Taveras, this would be a different team. This team would probably be slightly above 500. But instead, you're getting terrible from Jonah Heim, terrible from Adolis Garcia. Today was a great day for Doley. Don't want to go on an anti-Doley rant. Not that we've ever been anti, but y'all know what I mean. We've spoken a lot of truth about Adolis Garcia and the season that he's having. Some people don't want to hear it. It's not been a good season for Doley. Today was a great day for him. I can only hope it's the start of something good for Adolis. I hope that he can finish the season. Just hit 250, Doley. 250. Can we go 1-for-4 each game? If Doley can do that, we would, I really feel, be over 500 right now if Doley just was a 1-for-4 hitter. And if we could be getting something out of Jonah Heim besides an occasional 1-for-4 or 1-for-3 with a walk every 6th or 7th game. If we were getting those kinds of numbers, just mediocre numbers from those guys, we'd be a winning ball club right now. It's crazy, but I believe it with all my heart. Instead, we're getting absolutely terrible from some guys that played really, really well last year. And it's a big reason why we are where we are. Who's better, Garcia or Alvarez? Look, I think even the most homer Rangers fan would tell you that Alvarez is better. I'd rather have Alvarez than Adolis Garcia. Although, Texas Repo, you can probably help me out with this. I hope you're still watching. I have a couple of buddies that are pretty good Astros fans that don't love Alvarez. Think he's too streaky. I don't get it. I would love to have Alvarez on my team. Would love to have him. But I feel like some Astros fans are kind of hard on him, actually. I don't get it at all. And maybe I'm just listening to a small minority, but I would be very grateful to have Yordan Alvarez on my team. Dude is a natural hitter. And yeah, when you compare him to some alternatives, I don't think there's any question. Alvarez, 100% want him on my team, hitting up at the top of the order. I was watching the replay of that home run that he had on Wednesday with like the 18-degree launch angle. the one that he just absolutely smoked on a line to right center field. There's not a lot of guys in the major leagues that can do that. Not a lot of guys. So I think Alvarez, 100%. I would rather have him than Adolis Garcia. That being said, I love Adolis Garcia. He was unstoppable in October last year. Consistently building my franchise, of course you're going to go with Alvarez. I love Doley, though. Absolutely love him for what he did in 23. Set the record for most RBI in a postseason. I think Joe Biden said most RBI in a season at the White House on Thursday. Joe's a little off on that one. But nevertheless, I digress. Let's not get too far into politics here. The Rangers are better off with having Doley even just go 1-for-4. I mean, he doesn't have to do anything crazy special. If he could just hit 1-for-4, we'd be a different team. We'd be a different team. Let me get into some other things about this game today, though. I'm going to get off of the 8-0 box score and go to the 9-4 box score here. I'm seeing a couple of comments on TikTok here. Let me get to Sky Self. What's up? It says, I want Teodo in the pen. Yeah, I love his stuff. Here's my thing. I know a lot of people have been asking about prospects and should we bring up guys. I'm a little bit hesitant. I don't love the vibe on the team this year. I just don't love the vibes. I know that's kind of a stupid, like, eye test, maybe terrible argument, but I just don't love the vibes this year. And I kind of wonder, should we just wait to bring some guys up until a little bit later on? September, I think you definitely got to call some guys up. That is the time to do it. So regardless of the vibes, call some guys up in September. Do we need to rush anybody up right now? No. In fact, I would probably wait as long as I possibly could to bring up a Teodo if I wanted to. And I don't know if the Rangers want to start the clock on Teodo, but even Pennington, even a guy like Pennington, I'm a little bit uncertain whether or not they really need to have him up on the major league roster. Maybe in September, right? But what's the rush right now? The season, they're not like mathematically out of it, but it's not looking good. In September, you feel like at least they'll have clarity. They'll have clarity in whether or not they're actually going to be able to do anything into October. I think by September, you'll know, okay, they've got a shot, or yeah, this one's over. And if this one's over, then you have some opportunities to really go into that mindset and fully embrace it. I think the tension right now with the Rangers is they can't truly embrace a next year mentality quite yet. I know a lot of the fans, I know like my guy Aaron, who I put up comment a little bit earlier on the show, Aaron basically said season's over. I think that's the tough thing right now is it's technically not, and the Rangers aren't embracing that mentality yet. And that is the tension right now among the ownership, the club, and the fans, is you've got some fans that are really ready to get into 2025, talk about the offseason, and I get it. And I think there is a lot of validity to doing that. But right now, you know that the clubhouse and the front office isn't giving up on the season. They're not throwing in the towel for 2025 yet. So that's the tension right now. And that is why I'd be hesitant to bring young guys into the fold at this point. In September, 100%. Right now, I want to see how things play out a little bit more. I want to see how things play out. Maybe the Rangers, just by losing games and by Houston continuing to win, the Mariners continuing to win, the Rangers just kind of get knocked out. And you can kind of call it a day on the season. But who knows? These teams in this AOS race have not shown themselves to be consistently winning teams. I know the Astros have a winning record. I know the Mariners do as well. But both of those teams have gone up and down, up and down. Astros will win 4 or 5, and then they'll lose 2 or 3. They'll win a series, they'll lose a series. Astros have won 2 series in a row, but then they mess around with the Rays like they did before the Rangers. They mess around with the Pirates like they did before the Rangers series. I think the Astros lost 2 series in a row before they beat the Rangers in that series. So my point is nobody's running away with it quite yet. Now, when you look at the standings, which I think we'll do right now, I normally wait till the end of the show, but I'll start kind of giving y'all some updates. Astros won today, gained a half game on the Rangers just because the Rangers losing one of the games in the doubleheader. But right now, the standings. Rangers are 6.5 games out. The Mariners are a half game out, and they would pull even with the Astros with a win today. But the Rangers are 6.5 out. You've got, 45 games left? Not great. The chances are not great. They're single-digit percentage chances. But if the Rangers reel off 5-6 in a row and the Astros drop 4 out of 6, you're right back in it. And I don't think that's an impossibility at this point. The problem is the Rangers just haven't shown themselves to be a consistently winning ball club. And so I don't think a lot of fans have a lot of hope. And I'm being a realist as much as I can be while still being a fan, still being hopeful. But the Rangers haven't shown me a lot that they're going to be a team that's going to take advantage of the Astros and Mariners potentially losing ahead of them. The Astros and Mariners have dropped plenty of games, and the Rangers have failed to take advantage. I just feel like at this point, the Rangers are going to have to string together a pretty epic winning streak here, or at least a pretty epic run of winning to have any kind of shot. Any kind of shot. Texas Repo says the Astros are going to be atop the division until Altuve retires. I think that the Astros have probably a 2 or 3 year max window, regardless of Altuve. I think Altuve, you put 2 or 3 more years on those tires, I don't think he's still going to continue to be the same kind of guy. Hey, maybe he'll prove me wrong. You know what? It is what it is. But I think the Astros window is about 2 or 3 years. And I think that's why they're trying to maximize it. That's why you've seen the Astros pretty much gut their farm system over the last several trade deadlines, because they know the window is closing. The window for Astros is probably about 2 or 3 years. Verlander is 40 plus. You've got Kyle Tucker free agency coming up. Alvarez, you've got Bregman free agency coming up. The Astros have a small window. Now, I would say 2-3 years max. And we'll see what happens. If they prove me wrong, they prove me wrong. But if you had to call me on it today, I'm saying 2 or 3 years, and they're going to have to probably start doing some rebuilding. Astros, though, have had such a crazy sustained run of success. I've got a lot of respect for them. Don't love them. Don't like them. But I've got a lot of respect for what the Astros have done. They built a franchise that has made it to the championship series very, very consistently and had a shot at winning a World Series year after year. Didn't love the cheating stuff back in 17, 18, however long it went on, but I do think, regardless, if you're just being honest with yourself, the Astros have shown that they're still a good team, regardless of the trash cans. I can't sit here and say they're not a good team, and the only reason they're good is because of the cheating scandal. They're still a pretty solid team. They've made it to the championship series a lot, even beyond the cheating stuff. The Astros are going to be a tough out, even if the Rangers get hot. Let's say the Rangers get hot and start winning. I don't think the Astros are going to go quietly. I think the Mariners could fade, but I don't think the Astros are going to go quietly. So Rangers don't have any games left with the Astros either. That's the problem as well. If the Rangers still had a 4-game set left with the Astros, I'd be a little bit more hopeful. But no more games left with the Astros, and you drop the last two. Is what it is. Let me keep going here. So today's second game, you had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 guys. Six guys with multi-hits: Smith, Seager, Langford, Lowe, Garcia, Tavares. It was a good day. And the bottom of the order, 7, 8, 9, 5 of the 9 RBI. That's impressive. When you can get 5 RBI out of the 7, 8, 9 hitters, you're going to win a lot of games. Corey Seager's home run in the sixth inning, exclamation point, totally. I think that truly was the knockout punch in this one. Seager had not homered at Yankee Stadium in his career. Glad to see him get that home run. And then after that, the Rangers are able to largely go without having to use a lot of the top arms. I know Robertson came in, pitched an inning, but Leclerc, Garabito, able to bridge it to Robertson. Garabito did get roughed up a little bit. Stanton hit a home run. There was another home run by Chisholm off Garabito. Garabito is an innings eater guy. You're trying to get length out of him, much like they tried to get out of Grant Anderson. So I think mission accomplished, not having to use a crazy amount of bullpen arms. You look at the Yankees, they had to use four guys after Gerrit Cole came out of the game, and Gerrit Cole was dealing. He was dealing 10 Ks, one earned run. Rangers are able to force the Yankees to use a number of guys out in the bullpen. Mission accomplished there for sure. And you look at Judge and Soto in this game too, 0 for 7 with a walk. If you can shut down Judge and Soto 0 for 7 with a walk, you're going to win a lot of games against the Yankees. Making the other guys in that lineup beat you has to be the recipe. I know that they drew quite a few walks in game one, but anytime you can get those two guys going 0 for, it's going to be a very high likelihood of success. But in game two, let me talk about a few other specific points here. 5 for 12 with runners in scoring position. And you know what's crazy is the Rangers still left 10 different guys on base in game two. 10 runners left on base in game two. This could have been a lot uglier. I think on the flip side, in game one for the Yankees, they had quite a few guys left on base as well, and it was an 8-0 ball game. Rangers leave 10 runners on base and still win this one 9-4. 5 for 12 with runners in scoring position. Great to see. Sight for sore eyes. And the Rangers still left, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different guys and runners in, with runners in scoring position with two outs. I mean, the Rangers could have made this one a lot uglier. A lot uglier. But some two-out RBIs. Kelly had a nice two-out RBI in game two. Seager, of course, hits the two-run homer with three, gets the three RBIs. Two-out homer in that sixth inning. Leody drives in two with two outs. It was a great day for clutch RBIs with two outs for the Rangers, but they still left some on the table. So this offense, like I said, and like John said as well on YouTube, you can absolutely, absolutely see the potential with the Rangers and what they can do offensively. It definitely did not show up in game one, and it hasn't shown up consistently this season. But this 9-run outpouring today that the Rangers were able to put up, this is what they are capable of and what they did a lot last season. Glad to see the Rangers get back on track offensively in game two. I can only hope that it carries over to tomorrow, especially Adolis Garcia. Maybe that 7th spot is a good home for him. I think him not hitting in big moments, him hitting at the bottom of the order, I do think that it is a positive. I think a little bit less pressure, a little less, I got to come up with a big homer here or a big knock, just a little less pressure, I think is doing some good things for Adolis Garcia. I really do. The Yankees, I think this is a good point. They do appear to start strong quite often and then fade late. And maybe you're seeing a little bit of that. I know they've been a little bit streaky in the second half. Look, they're still 20 games above 500, second in the AL East. The AL East is just crazy good this year. But I do agree. The Yankees, feels like, have faded in the second half in a lot of recent seasons. We'll see what they're able to do. But it feels like they're about one bat away from being a World Series team. They've got Judge. They've got Soto. Feels like they need one other bat that can really make a difference. Stanton, I don't think he's the dude. Chisholm, you know, look, he's got a lot of upside, but I don't think Chisholm is the guy that is bringing them across the line for a World Series. The Yankees feel like they're about a bat away. One more bat, middle of the order bat, from being a really, really good team that has a chance. I don't think the Yankees are going to be winning a World Series this year. I just don't see it. But baseball's crazy. Not a lot of people saw the Rangers win in a World Series last year, but they did. So, look, I don't put anything past any team. Once you get into the big dance in October, anything can happen. A few other things. Cody Bradford, quietly 4-0 on the season. And look, he got a little bit touched up in his start against, who was it? Was it against, not the Astros? I don't think he started against the Astros, or did he? Cody Bradford, last time out, started against the Red Sox. That's right. And he went 3 2/3, gave up 3 runs. He struck out 5. I felt like, and I said after that game, felt like Cody Bradford actually threw the ball really well, even in that loss to the Red Sox. And I don't think he took the loss in that game, but Cody Bradford threw the ball really well today in the Bronx. 5 innings pitched, 5 hits, no walks, 7 Ks, just a beautiful job. mixing up the speeds, locating pitches. I really liked what I saw from Cody Bradford. And if you remember, before he went out with the injury that had him out for, what, 2 months, 3 months, he was dealing. He was looking like he was going to have an incredible season. April 10th was the last time we saw him. I mean, at that point, he was rocking a .62 whip, a 140 ERA. I mean, look, Cody Bradford has had a really good season for the Rangers thus far. I am really, really impressed with what I've seen from him coming out the gate from the IL. I hope it can continue. He's pitched now, I think, two nice games against really good competition in the Red Sox and the Yankees. We'll see what happens with him down the stretch, but I think you've got to be encouraged by what you've seen from Cody Bradford over his last couple of starts. Done a nice job stepping up with Scherzer going on the IL, Lorenzen getting traded, Dane Dunning kind of fading in the second half of the year, Cody Bradford stepping back into that starter's role and doing a really nice job. So Cody Bradford, I think, has got to be one of the players of the game for game two. Loved what I saw from him. I enjoy watching him pitch too. There are some guys you just really, really enjoy watching pitch. They're just masterful out there, the way that they mix and match, locate, paint the corners. Cody Bradford's not a guy that can throw 98, 99. He just throws that low 90s fastball, but he locates and he mixes in the off speed. And it's a beautiful thing to watch when he's on. I mean, he is really a pitcher's pitcher. He's not a guy out there that's just overthrowing or just throwing the ball and seeing where it goes with the velocity. Cody Bradford really is a pitcher's pitcher, and he is fun to watch out there. It's a craft for him. And he's 4-0 on the season now and probably one of the Rangers' better starters. I think there's an argument to be made with the recent struggles from Evo. Bradford and Heaney. Who would have thought? Bradford and Heaney. I mean, really, at this point in the year, maybe your most reliable starters. I know Heaney's had some ups and downs of late. But Bradford and Heaney, I feel really good when those guys take the ball. Evo of late, I don't know. I'd like to just write it off to he's not at full health, but you're seeing a lot of foul balls with Evo, guys working him deep into counts. You know that the guy can turn it on at any moment. I mean, he even struggled, Evo did, at the end of last regular season and then went on that dominant run in the postseason. So we know that Evo is probably going to be just fine. But Bradford and Heaney, I just feel really good when those guys take the ball these days. So got to give props to Cody Bradford. Really, really loved what I saw from his start today. 4-0 on the year. Good for him. And Cody Bradford, ERA on the season, 3.60. Very respectable. If you would have told me Cody Bradford's ERA was going to be 3.60 in August, granted he's had some injuries and been out for a while, I'd be very, very pleased with that. Much like you look at Andrew Heaney and you look at his ERA, you thought Andrew Heaney was going to be a fourth or fifth starter in this league. And I believe he's got that ERA under four. I'll have to take a look at his stats real quick. 3.99. Hey, barely right. 3.99 ERA for Andrew Heaney on the year. If you would have told me Andrew Heaney 3.99, having played all the season, and we're in August, August 10th, Heaney's got a 3.99 ERA, I'd 100% take that. So Rangers got to love what they're getting from the back end of the rotation at this point from Heaney, from Bradford, from those kind of guys. So let's go ahead and let's do a quick check on comments. I'm going to go back to TikTok. It's been a while since I checked out the comments there. I'll scroll back a little bit. Yeah, you would think somebody's basically saying, SkySelf on TikTok, in so many words, and I think I'm getting this right, like the Rangers' offense has been so incredibly bad over the course of the last 117 games. You would think that finally there's going to be some kind of click and they're going to turn it back on. You would just think, like the law of averages, they're going to have a good stretch at some point where they're getting close to 10 runs a game, you know, every other game, kind of like they were last year. You would think the law of averages, they're going to get hot. Like Jared Sandler said, though, about a week ago, you just wonder if they're going to click a little bit too late this year. Are they going to find that click in September when they're already kind of out of it? And you're like, man, where was this in July? Where was this in August? I think something like that might happen. I could see the Rangers, they kind of get knocked out. They go down 8, 9, 10 games maybe in the division. And then at the end of the season, they catch a little fire. And we're all sitting around saying, where was this when we really needed it? And that does go along with what I've said about the Rangers club this year. They just haven't been consistently clutch. When you need them to win games, they haven't won games. And when you feel like, you know, maybe there's not as much pressure on the team, they start winning some games. But then it gets a little serious. They get a little close. They get 2.5 games out like they were, a couple weeks ago? They were like 2.5 games behind Houston. And then they go back and lose 3 games. And now they're 5.5 back. Like CY said, CY had a great quote. I'm not going to nail it perfectly, but Chris Young, general manager for the Rangers, basically said, it's one step forward and 2 steps back with this team. And that is what it feels like quite a bit. Let me go to some more comments here. John says, something is up with Ebo. He's walking some people. Before that, he was no walks and 7 starts, just a ton of pitches, 80-something 3 innings. I think it was 81 pitches and 3 innings. Again, what concerns me is the lack of put away. So with Nate Eovaldi, you're seeing him have to go deep into at-bats. You're seeing a lot of guys fouling off his pitches, fouling off the splitter, fouling off his off-speed fastballs. You're not seeing as much consistent swing and miss. Now, he's still getting some swing and miss strikeouts, no doubt, but you're just not seeing as much swing and miss out of Ebo of late, and you are seeing an uptick in the walks. Maybe it's just health. I hope it is, because the only other alternative is regression, age, that kind of thing, and I would hate to get into that kind of discussion on Ebo. I hope it's just he's ailing a little bit, maybe not 100%, and that is causing him some issues. The trainer, Bochy Maddox, did go out and visit him, I believe, in the 3rd inning, which he ended up finishing. Ebo said he wanted to go out for the 4th. They pulled him out for precautionary measures. I think that was the right thing to do, considering the lopsided game. I don't think it was as lopsided at that point, but it was getting there. I will say this. Let me go back to one thing, and I know this is kind of a tangent, but Brock Burke continuing to be on the major league roster just fires me up. I mean, it really does. The fact that they dumped Hernandez, they DFA'd Jonathan Hernandez, and then you leave Brock Burke, you leave Owen White, you leave some other of these pitchers on the roster that really have no business being on it and haven't been good in their major league chances. But you DFA a guy like Hernandez, who actually has a super filthy slider, makes no sense to me. Brock Burke had like one really good stretch, and he has absolutely soiled the bed in every other opportunity he's gotten with the Rangers. I have no idea why or how you look at Brock Burke and Jonathan Hernandez side by side and think to yourself, I'd rather have Brock Burke. There's got to be something else, some other explanation. That is one I really don't get. I mean, and the only reason I thought of this, y'all, is because I know Brock Burke came in after Ebo, and Ebo leaves the game, and it's not like a blowout, but then Brock Burke comes in, and it becomes one. So Brock Burke, I just don't even understand why they continue to give him innings. You basically know that the game is either going to get completely out of reach, or any shred of hope that you had of coming back is going to get taken away from you when he comes into the game. Makes no sense to me why Brock Burke still is on the 40-man. I know that Evan Grant was kind of going back and forth with some people on Twitter today. I just really don't understand the move. Brock Burke needs to be at least optioned. I don't know if you DFA him, but at least option the guy. There's no need to continue to allow him to pitch. If you have any semblance, any sliver of hope of winning a game, do not put Brock Burke in the game, please. Please. So hopefully the Rangers are going to have some kind of alternative. I don't think you can keep trotting out Brock Burke. Gio, what's up, man? Thanks for tuning in. Rangers did win game 2. Unfortunately, we still lose a half game on the Astros, but I'm glad that they bounced back and won game 2. Thanks for tuning in today, bud. Leclerc pitching in a blowout is totally different than close games. Even multiple innings was no sweat. Isn't that weird with Leclerc? I do agree. He goes an inning and a third, 1 hit, 1K. Look, these guys get paid a lot of money to pitch in very, very pressureful situations, but it does just seem like some of these guys, You put him in a one-run game, and they just become a different pitcher. You put him in a no-sweat game, in a blowout game, and they suddenly look unstoppable. Now, Leclerc, he gives up a hit tonight or in the second game, but look, goes scoreless, inning in a third, no problem. Some guys just can handle the pressure better than others. And Leclerc, he has pitched in some high leverage situations for us and gotten out of them. But more often than not, Leclerc is not going to make it easy when he goes out there in a close game. He might tightrope his way out of a bad situation, but he's not going to make it super easy on himself. It is funny. It is amusing that Leclerc goes multiple innings scoreless in a blowout game. But you just can't get that consistently from him in a tight one. 100%. Let me keep going to the matchup for tomorrow. Let's preview the rubber match of the series. This is the third rubber match that the Rangers have had in consecutive series in a row. So you had one against the Red Sox. You had one against the Astros. Now you have another one against the Yankees. Rangers are 0-2 in their last two rubber matches. Let's see if they can get a win. Third series in a row, there's been a rubber match. Chance to win the series. Let's see if the Rangers can get it done. Tomorrow, we'll get the probable starters to you. We'll go through the preview, how each lineup has done against each opposing probable starter. But Rangers will have a chance on a getaway day. They'll be heading to Boston, maybe a little train ride coming up, I would assume. And hopefully they'll be able to continue on with their offensive prowess, should we say, that they demonstrated in this game two of this doubleheader. Hopefully they'll be able to continue that into this game three against New York. And then on to Boston, where the Astros are currently beating up on the Red Sox. All right, y'all. Computer going a little bit slow right now, but let's check out tomorrow's matchup here. So tomorrow, we've got Andrew Heaney throwing against Marcus Stroman. I got to say, I like the matchup. Stroman, 4.10 ERA on the year. Not a guy like Gerrit Cole that is going to overpower you, but he's been solid for the Yankees. And Marcus Stroman, in his last three starts, he did get roughed up quite a bit against his former team, Toronto, 2 2/3, 7 earned runs. Before that, against Boston, 3 1/3, 3 earned runs. Before that, Tampa Bay on July 21st, 5 1/3, 2 earned runs. In his last 7 games, Stroman has a 6.82 ERA. 6.82. So this is a guy that I hope we are able to score some runs against. I would think the Rangers should be able to knock around Marcus Stroman. I think if you are looking for a quality matchup going into the rubber match of a series, you would want Marcus Stroman. You would want to be facing him. Now, the Rangers do have a knack for making struggling pitchers look really, really good. But I think the Rangers will take this fortuitous matchup that they have against Marcus Stroman. And we'll get you the matchup, how the Rangers have fared against Stroman. The Rangers, by the way, throwing Andrew Heaney. There are some guys that have some ABs against Heaney. Looks like only LeMahieu has double-digit ABs. Torres is the next guy close along with Judge. 9 ABs apiece. First of all, let's go through New York's lineup. So Aaron Judge has really struggled against Andrew Heaney. 1-for-9 in his career. The one hit was a home run. Aaron Judge, 1-for-9 against Heaney. Chisholm, 0-for-2, lefty on lefty there. Cabrera, 0-for-1. Soto, 1-for-7. Stanton, 1-for-6. Torres, looks like 1-for-9, 2-for-9, excuse me, with the home run. Verdugo, 1-for-6. Volpe, 1-for-3. So you got Andrew Heaney basically having dominated most of these Yankees batters over the course of their careers. So I do think you've got, on paper, an excellent chance at winning this series tomorrow. An excellent chance. You've got a guy pitching, Andrew Heaney, that's more or less dominated the Yankees lineup in the small sample size that he's had against some of the hitters. And on the other side, Marcus Stroman pitching. You've got some guys that have done very, very well against Stroman. Simi, 16 career at-bats, .438 batting average. Nate Lowe, 1-for-3. You've got a couple other guys with a good amount of at-bats. Young, 3 ABs, 0-for. Grossman, don't think we're going to see him tomorrow against Stroman, so not even worth going through his numbers. Dolly's 0 for 2. Seager is 1 for 7 from what it looks like. Josh Smith, 1 for 1. Not a lot of numbers against Stroman. But nevertheless, with Stroman pitching as poorly as he has of late, almost a 7 ERA in his last 7 starts, I'll take the matchup. So I feel pretty confident about the Rangers getting a win tomorrow. Again, the Rangers, they have had a knack for making struggling pitchers look really, really good. But on paper, chances I would say are very, very positive for a Rangers dub tomorrow and a series win. We'll see if it happens. Game time tomorrow, by the way, is going to be at, looks like, 12:35 Texas time. So 10:35 a.m. out here for me in Las Vegas. And then the Rangers will enjoy an afternoon slash evening off over on the East Coast, and then they will head to Boston and we'll do a little 3-game set, I believe, with the Red Sox, and then they will return home on Thursday for a 4-game series with the Twins. Just doesn't get easier. Like, do y'all remember how, I think it was at the beginning of July or the end of July, they flashed that stat that the Rangers had like the third easiest schedule? I know September starts getting really easy, but this is a gauntlet that the Rangers are on right now. Astros, Yankees, actually Red Sox, Astros, Yankees, Red Sox, Twins. That's 5 series in a row against really good competition. Not a great stretch of fortuitous opponents for the Rangers. They haven't done well so far in this stretch of games. They've already lost the first 2 series in that stretch. I mean, 3 if you count the Cardinals. 4 if you count the Blue Jays. Blue Jays, though, not really a great team in my mind. So we'll go with 3. It sounds a little bit better, too. It's a little more generous for the Rangers. Rangers have lost their last 3 series against quality competition. Hopefully they can end that streak tomorrow against Marcus Stroman with Heen Dog on the bump. That's the plan. That is the plan. Let me keep going here with comments. Doesn't look like I've got a whole lot else in terms of comments on TikTok or on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, X. Let me check out Insta real quick. Nope, we're good to go. All caught up. Nice. Awesome. So around the league, Mariners are yet to play. Astros being the first place team, their results are a little bit more important at this point. But the Mariners, they are playing late tonight against the Mets. Looks like they will start at 8:40 Texas time. So in about an hour's time, right? And the Mets, 61-55, hopefully can give Seattle a run for their money. And by the way, just if anybody's wondering, the wild card for the Rangers, pretty far out of reach. 9 games back of the wild card, the Rangers are, with 45 games left to play. I would say chances pretty much next to impossible that the Rangers are going to be able to eke out a wild card berth. I think it's going to have to be through the division. Rangers, 6.5 games out behind Houston right now for first place in the AL West. Not impossible, but I would say improbable at this point that the Rangers are going to get that done. You never know. Baseball's crazy. I think anybody that remembers that 2011 season, how crazy the ending of that season was, the Braves' epic collapse, the Cardinals' late season surge to make the playoffs, later go on to win the World Series, just sneaking into the playoffs, anything can happen in baseball. I think that's the important thing to remember. Let's enjoy these next couple of months. Let's try not every game to have to feel like we've got to give a state of the season address. I think we can say until the Rangers put together a run, it's improbable that they're going to be playing in October, but it's not impossible. And I think that is where we are going to leave it today, at least in terms of the Rangers. Now, around the league, let's talk about a couple other things here. So we talked about the Astros beating the Red Sox. Arrighetti, 13 Ks for the Astros. Arrighetti is basically their top pitching arm. So not a good sign that he is getting hot. It looked like he was going to be kind of just an average guy. Now, look, maybe this is just a shot in the dark with the 13 Ks, a one-off. But Arrighetti, 13 strikeouts over the Red Sox today. That's impressive, no doubt. Cole making the front page. Of course, they couldn't make it about the Rangers. But Gerrit Cole's dominant 10K outing wasted and Yankees game two loss. So nothing about Seager, nothing about Dolly's five-hit day. Of course not. Got to make it all about the Yankees. But is anybody really surprised, especially Rangers fans? Let me keep going. Make it seven. The Padres extend their streak with second straight extra inning win. The Padres are just on fire right now. Just on fire. So Padres end up beating the Marlins in 10 innings. They are now 66-52. That's the kind of the streak that the Rangers need so badly right now, and it's just not coming. But you know what? There's still hope. They can still do it. But the Padres, man, they are the model right now for what you need to be doing in August, winning and stringing together victories. Mariners call up prospect Troy Taylor from Double-A Arkansas. Don't know where he is in their prospect ranking. Looks like he's their number 23 prospect. And they called him up straight from Double-A. Don't know how good he's been doing in Double-A. Looks like, I'm just reading this quick, 127 ERA between high A and Double-A. So they're going to see if he's got something to help him out down the stretch. But what a jump. You're playing in Double-A and high A for most of the season, and then you go straight to the majors. Man, my goodness. Looks like Bradford did just barely make the front page, kind of in the secondary headlines for his outing today. Thank you. Thank you for a little credit, MLB.com. I appreciate that. Nothing else to really mention, though. Nothing else from the front page. Looks like we'll just have to do a little scoreboard watching with the Mariners, see how they end up. And we'll be back at you tomorrow, probably sometime in the middle of the afternoon, hopefully after another Rangers win. Would be nice to take this series in the Bronx, get on a train to Boston, and win another series there before we head back home for that big series with the Twins. That's going to be a big, big series. I really, really am interested to see how the Rangers do this next week. I love that they're playing big names. It's always fun when you play the Yankees, always fun when you play the Red Sox, especially on the road. Then you go play a Minnesota team that right now would be in the playoffs if the season ended. So Rangers are playing some great competition. It's always exciting when you play these good teams. And the Rangers, honestly, I don't trust them any more against a bad team than I do a good team. I mean, unless it's the White Sox. If it's the White Sox, I feel pretty confident in their chances. Any other team, Oakland, Angels, any other struggling team, Toronto, I'm not feeling any better than if they play Boston or New York. I don't know if y'all agree with me or not, but I feel just as good about their chances against the Yankees and the Red Sox than I do if they're playing the Blue Jays or the Athletics. That's sad, but that is the Rangers this year. Can't count on them to beat the teams that they should beat. And then you just aren't surprised when they actually do beat good teams because they've got the talent to do it. Story of the Rangers season right there in a nutshell. Well, all right, y'all. Hope you have a great rest of your Saturday. Hope you got something fun planned for the evening. Maybe you're just chilling out after a long work week. That might be me, but we'll see what happens. See if we can do anything fun. Went to a little Morgan Wallen concert last night. It actually worked out perfectly. Wouldn't have been able to go live anyways last night. Went to the Morgan Wallen concert at Allegiant Stadium. It was a great time. A few people getting a little crazy around us, but you know what? Some people, I guess, can hold their alcohol a little bit better than others. My goodness. But it was a great show. Morgan puts on an awesome time. I wouldn't have been able to go live, so it actually worked out phenomenally that the Rangers were off last night thanks to the rainout. Did the double dip today. Glad they went 1-1. And hopefully they'll go 2-1 on the series tomorrow. Well, thank you again for your support. Thank you for watching the show, whether you're live or on the replay. I know there's a lot of Rangers content out there. Thank you for choosing Right on Rangers. If you're not following, hit that follow or subscribe button. Hit that notification bell, whether you're on YouTube or TikTok. Get notified every time we go live. That way you don't miss a show. Stay up to date with all of our latest and greatest content every time we put out a reel, a short, you name it. And hey, if you know somebody that loves the Rangers, you know somebody that loves baseball in general, please share this video with them. Tell them about the channel. Tell them about the account. I would really, really appreciate it. Hope to see y'all back tomorrow after a Rangers dub. Have a great rest of your Saturday and a great rest of your weekend if I don't see you. And as I always say to end every show, God bless and go Rangers. Bye, y'all.